Just so you know, you've probably heard the bird up there. We've opened the front door, so hopefully it'll find its way out. Hopefully it'll find its way out. Because when we had a pigeon, we tried ever so hard to catch it, didn't we, Fred? I don't think it's doing service this morning. Look, you just watched the bird. How about that? Right, a warm welcome this morning to Susan, who needs no introduction. We all know Susan.
Thank you.
I won't say an old friend.
We're getting old now, aren't we?
A friend of long standing of the church. So welcome this morning.
Thank you.
On Tuesday, the house group at 7:30 on Zoom, the Sunday link, same as this morning. On Wednesday, coffee morning in the church. Next week is our communion service. Will be led by Mark Vidler, and we are welcoming a new member into membership. Who will that be? So you're not allowed to be ill next week, Bill.
Good.
Good. Good. So there you are, there's something to pray for as well. So thank you. Over to you, Susan. I'm going to turn the mic.
Good morning. Summer has arrived. Even with the twittering of the birds, it feels like spring already. It is lovely to be with you. And some opening words I have for you from the Psalm, from Psalm 116. It simply says this: I love the Lord. Sometimes that's all you need to say, isn't it? And there he is. So hear the rest of those verses. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. That's who we've come to worship this morning, isn't it? Hear those words again as we gather in worship. I love the Lord, he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call in on him as long as I live. Let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to call upon thy name, knowing that you do hear us. You are with us. And so we pray that you would receive our worship and speak into our lives afresh. We commit this time to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Let's sing together. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, and unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice tender to me. The dear Heavenly Father, we seek to glorify your name. We thank you that we can gather here in the name of Jesus. We want to draw near to thee. We want to worship thee. We want to know more of your power in our lives. The same God who fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers throughout the generations, the one who changes not, the one who laid aside his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ who came to earth to be our Saviour. Father, you've given us so much. We want to praise and worship you here this morning. Please receive our praise, we ask. Inhabit our praises. Draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you. Let us sing together, you laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands that those you had created. Presence of the Almighty One, the Creator of the universe, even though we let you down so often with our thoughts and words and deeds. Father, we thank you for this amazing provision that you gave your one and only Son to set aside the glory of heaven. He came and lived amongst men that we might be able to come into thy presence, not because we deserve it or because we've earned it, but because forgiveness is available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here this morning, Father, we would confess our sins before thee in our hearts. Lord, you know everything about us. You welcome us just as we are, but how you long for a closer relationship with us. And so we ask that you would look into our hearts this morning, that you would help us to confess our sins, to be honest with you,
That as we confess our sins, your word reminds us that you are faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Father, we pray that you would cleanse us afresh, that there might be nothing that would inhibit, nothing would come between us here in this place this morning. We ask you to bless us, to speak to us. As we join together and share in the prayer you taught your followers, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. It truly is the word of God the Father, the author of creation, the one whom we worship this morning. Let's sing our next song of worship. You're the word of God the Father. Fantastic. Fantastic. So good. I can hear the bird twittering and helping us in our praise as well. Isn't it lovely? Hear him singing along with us, or her. Well, I've got a few little readings and bits and pieces. We've got some more songs to sing. I've got three little thoughts for you this morning. The first one comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, Luke 5, very familiar story. There's three little words I want to take out of it today. Luke 5, verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. So they were just sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Wow. Imagine being there. Whenever I read these Bible stories, I always think, what would it have been like to be there? I wonder what you would have been doing if you were there. Would you have been one of the Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there thinking, "Well, I'm going to criticize everything he says. I'm going to pick bones in all of it. I'm going to sit there and..." Or are you going to be the ones busying around trying to pack as many people in? What always shocks me about this story is that there were some people trying to get in and they couldn't get in. Well, that'd be lovely in a church, wouldn't it? If they were queuing at the door and just couldn't get in. But I wonder what we would do if that was the case and someone was so desperate to get to Jesus. What really shocked me about this story was the fact that they couldn't get in. And there was obviously here a man who was in desperate need and they couldn't get him to Jesus. Of course, in society in these days, there wasn't special measures in place to help people with disabilities. They would be shunned, they would be pushed to one side. And yet this man had four good friends. In another gospel it tells these four good friends who carried him. And I don't know about you, but just imagine carrying... I'm not even very good carrying the shopping, I don't know. I'm getting stronger arms these days. But they've been carrying this man. So they've been helping this man, it tells us. And they've carried this man to this place. We don't know how far they carried him, but if you've ever tried to carry a dead weight, as it were, you really know about it. I've found that more so helping Mum more lately, as she's less able to help herself. You're thinking, well, she's not got any bigger, but suddenly where the less able someone is to help you, the heavier they are. This man was paralyzed, so he couldn't help them at all. So these guys have been working really, really, really hard. They've been trying really, really, really hard. And I don't know what you've been trying really, really, really hard at. Perhaps you can finish that sentence. What have you been trying really, really, really hard to do? And then you get to a blockage. That's what happened here. These people got to a blockage. Maybe you've been trying really, really hard because you want to get to heaven. And how do I get there? I'm going to be so good. Oh, no, I've gone wrong again. Oh, I'm going to be so good. Oh, I've done it again. Oh, I can't believe it. I actually did it again. And God still loves us just the way we are. And we can't earn our way into heaven. Maybe there's some practical things that you've been trying to do. Maybe there's a friend that you've been trying to help, but it's becoming hard. And you pick up the phone and you ring them and you say, "Oh, thank goodness they're not there." We don't do things like that, do we? Do we ever knock on the door and hope that they're not in? Or ring up and hope the phone's engaged deep down in our hearts? And we can say, "Well, I tried. I did. I tried." Well, that's what these guys have done. They've carried this man all this way and they've got there and they've tried. It's full. Where would you finish that sentence off? They couldn't find a way in because of the crowd, so they started a fight in the doorway to get in. Turned round and went back saying, sorry, we've done our best. What would you do? How would you finish that sentence? We tried our hardest. When they couldn't find a way forward because of the crowd in this case, there's a comma there, not a full stop. What would you do next? Have an argument with the person at the door. Turn back, give up. What did they do? They went up. They went up. And to me, that just conjured up an amazing picture of saying, Lord, I can't do any more. Help. Help. Look up. Look up. Your salvation is in him, not what we do. God has forgiven us our sin. Oh, I've done it again. Look up. Be ye saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The three little words I had in my mind to share with you from this little passage is simply this: but I tried. And maybe there's someone here this morning who God's saying, don't give up. Talk to me about it. Talk to me about it, and I will help you. All power is given in Jesus' name. Is that the chorus we did actually choose? God forgave my sin. Yes. Yeah, let's reflect on those thoughts as we sing. We'll remain seated and just sing this little chorus through together. God forgave my sin. In Jesus' name, he's forgiven us. Thank you. Tried. And sometimes we do try and it gets exhausting. We don't need to run on empty, for all power is given in Jesus' name. Where do you fit into this story this morning? Maybe you're the one on the mat being carried and longing for someone to help you. Or maybe you're feeling weary having carried somebody on the mat, doing life together. And the message is, don't give up, look up. Seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. Allow him to empower you and to guide you. I've written down here, does the enemy of God appreciate his power more than I do? Does the enemy of God appreciate his power more than I do? And I was looking at an Old Testament story, and this lady in this story was persistent, she was committed, and she was faithful. We know about that because she's even mentioned in the book of Hebrews, the book of faith, you know, the chapter in Hebrews of faith. This lady was mentioned there as a faithful lady. And yet when I look at her story, I think, was she brave or was she stupid? Sometimes that's quite a narrow line, isn't it, as to when we're brave and when we're stupid. She was living in a city that was considered to be impregnable. It had a massive wall around it. And yet, they had heard about God and what he could do. And the people in this city were terrified about what might happen, even though they thought they were in a secure place. I think if I was her, I might have legged it out there, because that's another opportunity option, isn't it? We can sort of get away from a problem rather than actually deal with the problem. I'll read you a few verses of the story. We find it in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. If you want to follow it, I'm going to read from, where should I read from? Verse 8. This is before the children of Israel go into the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan, they're going to cross the Jordan River, and the first town, do you remember the first city that they approached when they went over the water? And the walls came tumbling down. It's the walls of Jericho, that's it. Yeah, you can talk to me, it's all right. Jericho, so the big walled city. Okay, so this is the big, big walled city. But Jericho was known, here's a quote from a book, Jericho was known for idol worship, practicing human sacrifice and deviant sexual activity. It was not a good city. And let's hear what this lady who lived in the walls had to say. Verse 8 of Joshua 2. She says, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. She's speaking to spies that have been sent into the land because God's people weren't really sure what was ahead of them and what was going to happen. And the person that they meet says this. We're frightened of you and what you might do. It says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you'll spare the lives of my father and mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you'll save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we'll treat you kindly and faithfully. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. And she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father, mother, brothers, and all your family in the house, if anyone goes outside the house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We'll not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Really, that part of the story I wanted to read to you, if you want to learn all about it, have a look in the book of Joshua when you get home. But here we had someone who was not, if you like, on God's team. And they seemed to be more aware of the power of God than God's team were. And I wonder sometimes whether, you know, do you ever get prompted to go and visit someone? You're like, really? Do you want me to go there? And we get frightened. We get frightened to speak about our faith, perhaps. We don't want to talk to people. We're perhaps a bit fearful. And those are the phone calls or the door knocks when we're like, well, I hope they're not in. And then at least I can say I tried. But actually, when we do get in there, we sometimes find that the person is just waiting to be asked. They're ready, they're open, because God has prepared the way. Just as in this incident, God had prepared the way. He gave these people confidence, and the confidence came from the enemy of God, saying, well, we know all about your God. What do you know about your God? Do you realize how powerful he really is? But what if they don't like me? What if they tell me to go away? What if the test results are negative? What if they're positive? You know, we always focus on the bad news, don't we, as opposed to the good news. What if? What if? These people, the what ifs, we go to this land, this great big city of Jericho. Really? Is God going to give this to us? Yes. Do you know what? And all you're going to do is walk around the city and shout, and the city is yours. What if? What if? Well, this lady, her name was Rahab, she was told to stay in her house. And I wonder what she was thinking as they walked round the city, these children of Israel. And they walked round the city. I don't know, what would you think? What if they didn't mean it? I've still got time to pack my bags and go somewhere else. What if it didn't really mean what they said? What if? Oh, come on, you can all think of what ifs, and they're always negative ones, aren't they? So I felt challenged to say to you today, hold on to the good what if. What if they're in trouble? What if they're just asleep? We can always think of the bad what ifs. This lady stayed in that place with her family. Well, we don't know if her family stayed with her. But she was then described as a very faithful person because she hung in there. She stayed there. I'm going to read to you a verse in James. We've been studying James at our Bible study. That's a challenging book. In the same way, it says, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And then there's a challenge that comes at the end of chapter 2 of James. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without our deeds is dead. What this lady did was she not only tried, but she put into practice what she believed in. She said, oh, I believe you, and then gone about her business. But she actually put into practice. She didn't rely on the impregnable city keeping her safe. She relied on the word of God. But the longer we wait, the louder those voices in our head. Or have you not got those voices in the head like I've got that says, maybe you shouldn't, maybe you shouldn't, maybe you should, but I'm going to. And the Lord gives us the strength. So my second point to go with my but I tried is hold on to the good what ifs. Because it's only when we put our faith into action that it can really make a difference. Here's a song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know that one, don't you? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Join in then. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down, and the rain came down, and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. You see, they both tried. They both built a house. But one of them said, I'm going to make sure I've got a good foundation. And when you read that parable that Jesus taught, it starts off with this phrase. Anyone who takes these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. To learn the words of the Bible is going to do you no good whatsoever unless you put them into practice. But I tried. Did you really try? I'm going to pray. Did you pray or did you worry? Well, actually, probably did more worrying than praying. We've got to put these words into practice. Listen to the words and lay hold of them. We're going to sing another little song now, which is about some of the words that you can lay hold of to help you to focus on the good what ifs. And it's the words about Jesus, things that Jesus had to say to us. I heard the voice of Jesus say, here's some of these words of Jesus this morning, and take them away and allow them to permeate your thoughts this week. Thanks. Thank you. Just a few scriptures there in that song. But how often do we just think about them but not put them into practice? Oh, but I tried. When was the last time you just sat down in God's presence and just talked to him? Opened your heart to him and let him have it all. He already knows. But this concept of spending time in his presence and being still in his presence and being honest with him, not just talking to him, but listening to him and applying what he says, makes all the difference. We all have power. When the Lord Jesus Christ is accepted as our personal Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, to enable us to deal with the what-ifs of life, to enable us to keep on keeping on, to help us to work out the thoughts in our head. But life can be a struggle. There's no doubt about that. Things happen, it's mysterious. People leave this world and you're thinking, but you were the one that was well. Why is the poorly one still here? Things happen. And we can get ourselves muddled up. We've got to come back to the basics, come back to the Word of God, and know that this life is preparation for the next. Things come to help us to grow, to be more like Jesus. Things come to help us to get closer to Him, that we can be of service to Him. My final thoughts to you today is about some power that you have in every circumstance of life. And what changed the lives of those people that we've already thought about? God forgave that man's sin as he spoke to him. The people were persistent. The people in Rahab's day, they talked. What power you have, you have power to wound, destroy. What did I write down here? Cause strife. Or division. You got that power today? Have you used it lately? Now you're all looking down like that now. Nobody wants to tell me whether they've used their powers to wound or destroy or cause strife or division. What about using the same power to bring joy, to bless, to encourage, or to build up? What power am I talking about? The power of the word, a simple word, can lift your day or smack you flat. A simple word. You see, I'm stuck in the book of James, really, and I challenge you to read that letter. It takes about 15 minutes from beginning to end, but if you want to study it, it'll take a lifetime to try and apply and put into practice the challenges within it. Rahab was mentioned as a lady there of faith putting things into action. But the verses before that talks about, show me your faith without deeds and I'll show you my faith by what I do. That's just one sentence. Wow. But my final scripture reading to you today is not in chapter 2, which is what those verses come from. It's chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you verses 3 to 12. And it says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The power of the tongue. Well, when we were studying that at our Bible study, we've been working our way through, we've just finished the book of James, and there's a lot of challenges in there. But something that someone said at our group has just really stuck with me. And it's so simple. It starts with a thought. Everything we say starts with a thought. But I've tried. It starts with a thought. Never mind those what ifs. It all starts with a thought. What is going on in there for you? I'm not letting you go on. You're not coming in here with me. We all have those little voices on our shoulders, don't we, saying, do this, don't do this, or think that, or don't think that. It all starts with a thought. And what comes out of our mouth is a result of those thoughts. How does that help us as we go along life's way? It tells us if anyone's never at fault in what he says, he's perfect, able to keep his old body in check. Well, it's hard, isn't it? It's so hard. What are we going to do about it? God said he'll help us. And these words of ours can make so much difference. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. We need to ask him before we open our mouth. What did we say? Count to 10? Or was that 100? Sometimes it needs to be 100, doesn't it? But to discern our thoughts before we speak, because our tongue can cause so much trouble. But this morning, and what I've been challenged as I've been studying all this, I'm saying I'm not blaming the tongue, I'm blaming the thought. And so my challenge to you today is to intercept your thoughts and to decide whether it really is a thought from God, or whether you need to dismiss it and say, well, actually, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to think that about that person. I'm going to think good things about them. And he will help us. Because words are so, so powerful. We have the power to forgive or the power to destroy just in a word. We need to keep trying. Hold on to what is good. A little bit, a little rudder guides and directs the whole animal or the whole boat. Our tongue can guide our whole relationship with those around us. The word of the Lord is given to us to help us along life's way. What words do we use to help people that we meet day by day? So I've got three potentially disjointed little stories there for you this morning, but I felt constrained to share with you about this man who was carried, but these people persisted, they were committed, they were faithful, they took their friend to Jesus. Even when the way was blocked, they didn't give up. They didn't go away and say, oh, but I tried. They hung in there. And they found a way in by going up, which to me was an image of going up to Jesus. I know they just got up on the roof, but taking our problems up to the Lord and allowing him to help us. Then there was the lady in the Old Testament, Rahab, and there she threw all in with these people. She was a heathen, and yet she's in the genealogy of Jesus. You find her in Matthew chapter 1. She threw all in. She got rid of the what ifs that were negative and held on to the what ifs that were good. And when you get to the book of Hebrews and read that chapter of faith, it says, by faith the prostitute, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She hung in there, all in for Jesus. Her mind kept her focused in God's direction. We sang about some of the thoughts and words of Jesus. He says, come unto me and rest. And once we get our thought process, then we get our tongue process in order as well. With a word, he fed the hungry. With a word, he calmed the storm. We sang at the opening of our service today. With a word, we can set someone free who wants our forgiveness. With a word, we can destroy a reputation or build somebody up. But it starts with a thought. And it's a challenging message. I've been working on this. We've been looking through James for quite a long time. If you start reading it, I say it takes 15 minutes to read it, but it takes an awful lot longer to mull it over and think, oh boy. But I do challenge you to read it and allow God to help you to have a more intimate relationship with him. That you can discern his thoughts and have his words to reach out to people around us who may be just dying to hear that word from you. God loves you. Come and join us at church next week and learn more about his love for you. Let's pray, shall we? Loving God, we bring to you those who have been wounded by words. They may be words from the past that have burrowed into their skin, undermining their sense of worth. They may be words in the present, a constant reminder of conflict or dislike, hampering the hearts of those who receive them. They may be words not yet said, but imagined. Fears about what labels may be pressed upon them when it becomes hard to believe in anything different. We pray too for those who have particular authority, whose words carry more weight, who have a wide audience. Give them extraordinary wisdom, knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Not rushing to appraise or condemn, but always to consider and reflect before making statements that can alter the lives of others. In a world full of voices, so ready to condemn or to adulate, so willing to speak without thinking, have mercy, O God, and help us, we pray, to use words to heal and not to harm. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on our words, we also take time in our worship to specifically bring before you the needs of those around us, people that we know who are poorly, people we know who are in hospital, who have perhaps lost their confidence in you because of all of the what-ifs going on in their mind, which are not from you. What if God still loves me? What if God has a purpose in this situation for me to witness for him? What if God will enable me to do whatever I need to do in his strength? And those other things that I want to do, he has no purpose for. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour out your blessing in a special way on all those who are struggling to come to terms with changes in circumstance. People who are no longer able to do the things they used to do. People who miss folk who are no longer around and spend time concentrating on what they've lost as opposed to what they have. Oh, Father, there's so many what-ifs, such a battle that goes on in our minds. And I pray for each person here this morning that each of us might have our minds renewed with your words, with your promises, with your concepts. For those who are poorly, Lord, we do pray your healing hand upon them. If it be thy will, we know you can. Especially want to pray for Keith Helliwell today, known by most people here, Lord, who is struggling through circumstances at this time. He and Christine and dear Amber, Lord, we lift that family to thee. As there are many other families, I'm sure, that people bring to mind right at this time, Lord. Would you minister into these families and help them to draw near to thee? So remember those who grieve at this time, who are lonely and sad, that they might come unto thee and know thy power and know thy rest. And Father, I pray for this church family here at Carey, that you would guide those in leadership roles to discern your way forwards, that you would bless the relationships here, that people might be at one, all united under the banner of Jesus Christ, that you would bless their endeavours and that this work might prosper under your guidance to the glory of thy holy name. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Well, as a closing hymn, I've chose perhaps an unusual song, but I had this phrase going through my head, and if you read the book, James, you'll understand why. And it's simply this: all our weakness thou dost know. Because it's a real challenging book. And I couldn't find the song that it was in. It's in this one, which we're going to close our service with today, as we pray to our Heavenly Father to help us, to guide us, as we open up the thought patrol on our minds this week and ask him to discern for us and help us to keep close to himself. Let's close with our final hymn. Thank you.
Father, as we bring our time of worship to a close, we thank you for the challenges within it, but we also thank you for the promise of your power and your presence.
Father, so often we do try and we get exhausted trying. And so as a family of believers here today, Lord, I pray that we might be more aware of the needs of one another, that as those four men supported that paralyzed man, so we in turn can learn to support one another and encourage each other. Not just by saying, I'll pray for you, although great that is, but by supporting one another practically and persevering and committing ourselves to help each other in the furtherance of thy kingdom here. And then, Father, I pray that as we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd help us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, that we might be kind, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. Help us, Lord, to be imitators of thee, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we share the grace with one another? May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.